Hello, good morning, Saturday. Good morning on this beautiful Saturday to my No BS family. And I am Coach Christy, and I am so excited to be here with you. Let me see what is happening here. I need to change my name. Let me look at how to do that. This is my second No BS coaching call with you guys, and I'm so excited you guys got up on Saturday to be with me. So let me see about changing my name here. Let's see. I am so happy to be here with you guys. This is the Scarcity and Contentment Worksheet Call. I see we've got the chat going. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning. Thanks for loving my cow picture. I call him Carl. He's my friend back there. He helps me, gets me through my day. All right, let's see. All right. Oh, hi, Carl. Hi, Carl. All right. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. I want to say a big welcome to any new members that we have on the call today. I hope you're having a great first week or a great first couple of weeks. This is the Scarcity and Contentment Worksheet Call. So if you have that worksheet ready, it is from Lesson 8 in the Trusting Your Body bonus course that we've been working on this month. If you don't have it, don't worry. You don't need to have it out. We are going to be kind of going through the questions together. So if you're listening to this call while you're out doing something or walking around, or if you're like me, you're listening in the shower, then we can go through the questions together. So don't worry about it. You can always go back and fill out those questions later. All right. Let's see. I am going to change a couple of settings. We have, Coach Heather is in the chat with us today. My good friend, Coach Heather, and I am going to promote her as soon as I can see her hand raised. Let me see. She is typing in all caps, you guys. So if you are wondering, she is not yelling at you. She is just typing in all caps so that you know that that is a No BS team member talking to you. All right. I'm going to escape this right here. Okay. Couple of announcements. If you were in the chat and you were chatting, make sure it looks like everybody's doing it, but I want you to make sure that, I hear someone say you can barely hear me. Is that true? Barely hear me? Anybody? Can anybody hear? Sounds great. Okay. So some people, all right. Some people can hear me and some people can't. All right. Everybody says sounds great. Okay. So I'm not sure if you can't hear me, guys, then check your settings and turn up your volume and see if that helps. Okay. I'm going to change my name. I didn't do that yet. Sorry, guys. I'm a little bit discombobulated this morning, but we're going to have a great time. Okay. Coach Christy changing my name, and I see Coach Heather. Let's see. Heather, there she is. I'm going to promote her, promote to panelists. So Heather can be helping you guys in the chat this morning. She can also be answering your questions that you put in the Q&A. So if you have a very specific question, pop it in the Q&A. The chat goes really fast, so she might miss your question if you put it in the chat. But if you definitely want to get a question answered, you can pop it in that Q&A. And if I have time, I will get to some of those questions. So let me just tell you really quickly how the flow of the call is going to go today. So I'm going to make a couple of announcements as everybody's coming in, but we're going to kind of go through the worksheet together. I'm going to give a little bit of review, and then we'll answer some questions, and then I'll kind of talk some more about some more concepts around scarcity and contentment, and then we'll do some more questions. So that's sort of how the flow is going to go today. And then at the end, if we have some time, I would love to do some coaching. We can focus on scarcity and contentment thoughts, or we can focus on anything in the Trusting Your Body course that you guys would like to talk about. Yeah, thank you, Heather. Heather's putting in the chat exactly where to find this worksheet. It is lesson 8 in the Trusting Your Body course, which can be found on the website under self-study resources. Okay, as we're coming in, a couple of announcements. If you have not finished your 24-hour plan, I want you to mute me right now and go finish your 24-hour plan, especially for those of you that have been my non-weekend planners. I'm great through Monday through Friday, and then I just don't plan on the weekends. If that is you, today is the day that that stops. I want you to go make your 24-hour plan for Saturday and then pop back in here and join us on the call. Okay, that is that. Okay, so a couple of announcements. This is the final Trusting Your Body worksheet call, but don't stress. Coach Jane will be back next month. She's going to do another Trusting Your Body call. And then the following month, she's going to do another call that's going to be sort of binge related. So don't worry if you love Coach Jane, like I love Coach Jane, she is coming back next month and the next month after. And I'm sure we're going to see her kind of in and out of No BS from time to time. So don't stress if you're loving the Trusting Your Body course and you're sad that it's over. Okay, one other announcement. So we're trying out something new. You know, here at No BS, we are always looking for ways to make things more exciting for you guys. So one of the things we're doing is I want you to look and Coach MJ put some really good verbiage in here for me. So let me pull that up so I can tell you exactly what to do here. But if you notice at the bottom of your screen, you should have enabled a reaction button. So this is like when you can do smiley faces and thumbs up and hearts and things like that. So if you look down at the bottom of your screen, you can either click if you're on your computer or you can hit tap. Uh-oh, somebody's saying there's no reaction button. Okay, let me tell you, MJ gave me some verbiage. It says to send a reaction, click or tap on the reaction button on the toolbar, either along the bottom or the top of your screen. If you're using a phone or a tablet, your reaction button might be hidden. Oh, here's the answer. Okay, so you're going to tap the more button and then tap on the reaction button. Oh, I see it. I saw a hand raised. Somebody else send me a reaction. Let's see if this is actually working. Is this working? Tell me, give me a reaction. Anyone? Bueller. There was a reaction button for Betsy's call, but not here. Well, dang it. I'm so bummed. Okay, well, Heather, you don't have the reactions button either. Well, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, it was supposed to be working. Maybe it got shut off or something. Okay, forget it. Don't worry about the reactions button. If you were on Coach Betsy's call, then you saw it. It was freaking cool. So that's fine that Coach Betsy gets all the cool stuff and I get nothing. I have no problems with that. I'm just kidding. All right. Well, we won't worry about that, but keep an eye out for it. We're kind of experimenting with it. So if you liked it, you know, I'm glad. And if you didn't like it, well, who knows if it's coming back, because you know how that goes. Okay, let's get started. Enough of the announcements. All right. What is scarcity? So if you have your worksheet out, you can just kind of set that to the side and let's just chit chat for a while about what scarcity is. Okay. So scarcity is a feeling of something being inadequate or in short supply. Okay, so why are we talking about scarcity and no BS? Well, scarcity thinking, right? Scarcity thoughts totally affects us on our journey and our overeating, our weight loss journey and our overeating. So why? Why does that affect us? Okay, so you guys know that we all have a very primitive brain. Like all of us have the same brain, all of our brains are the same. They come out of the box the same. It's very primitive. Okay. And when we have this primitive brain, remember that its job is to protect us, right? It always wants to protect us. And when we think scarce thoughts, when we have scarcity thoughts, it wants to protect us. And our likeliness to overeat is going to be much more. So I want you to think about that. Much of your overeating is probably due to some scarcity thinking. Okay. So this is why we're talking about it. We want to know how much scarcity thinking are you doing and how do we correct that? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So much of our overeating is because we have scarcity thinking. Okay. So here's a great question, right? Where does this scarcity thinking come from? Like, where did we get it? Right. So for some of us, it could actually be that when you were growing up, food was scarce. You may have had a lot of siblings and they were eating all the food before you got a chance. Or, you know, maybe your parents couldn't afford a lot of food. And so food actually was scarce. And so that's one way it comes about. The other way we all can have some scarcity, and I think a lot of us can relate to this. I wish we had the reaction button because I want to see all the thumbs up here, right? So maybe you can put them in the chat and I'll see them. But a lot of us got some scarcity thinking because of all the fucked up diets we have done. The diets we have done have promoted this scarcity thinking in us. Okay. They eliminated foods, like sometimes whole food categories, all carbs are bad, right? Fat is bad, whatever, right? Or they limited the quantities of food we can have, you know, make sure you only get this many calories in. I don't really give a shit what your body wants. You only get this much, right? So diets that we have done over and over and over again have really promoted this scarcity thinking. And remember that when we have that type of thinking, it triggers our primitive brain to be like, oh shit, this is scarce. We need to hoard it. You know, we don't know when we're going to get this again, right? So this is how it works on our journey. This is why it is not helpful. So this is why Coach Jane has helped us really examine our scarcity thinking. Okay, so how do you know if you have scarcity thinking? Like, how do you know if you're doing it, right? Well, you're saying things like, well, I might as well just finish this. Oh, well, I might not get this again. So I should eat a lot of it right now. I'll go ahead and eat this. These are things like, you know, when you at Christmas time, like all the Christmas cookies, as if you can't eat cookies any other time, but our brain says, but these are special, right? I need to overeat these right now because it's going to be a long time before I get these again, right? Okay. How about, I better get rid of this today so I don't have to eat it tomorrow, because tomorrow I'm going to be very good, right? So I'm just going to go ahead and finish this whole bag of M&Ms. So tomorrow they won't tempt me, right? Scarcity thinking. How about this one? I used to do this one, but I might get hungry later. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and eat now because I probably am going to get hungry later. And what if I can't eat? Like, what if there's no food around? I'll just go ahead and do it now. Get it out of the way. Make sure I'm covered, right? What about, I'm worried I won't get enough, right? If you grew up with brothers or a lot of siblings, they were the ones that were getting to the food before you, right? Let me get in there and eat it. Let me go get that last ding dong before my brother comes home and scarfs it up because I didn't even get one, right? Scarcity thinking. How about this one? Once I start eating, I just know I won't be able to stop. So I'm just going to avoid that. Just going to eliminate that food. Scarcity thinking, right? That makes that food feel scarce. Okay. I want you to go ahead and think about your most recent overeat. Maybe it was last night. Friday night, maybe you had some overeat with some pizza, maybe you overdrank, something like that. A way to think about your last overeat. And I want you to look at question one. Can you identify the scarcity thinking that led to it? Maybe you were thinking, well, I just need to finish this. I won't be able to get this again. I want to just get this out of the house. Go ahead and answer number one. What were you thinking? Think about your last overeat. Kind of while you're thinking, I'm going to tell you about what I wrote on mine. So I had bought for our team members when we went to camp, I had bought some chocolates from a place called Buc-ee's. If you are familiar with Buc-ee's and you are living in Texas, you realize that Buc-ee's is one of the three branches of government in Texas. It is a giant convenience store and they have like the best food they have. It's just the coolest place, right? Buc-ee's, Stephanie gets, right? Okay. Yeah. So I had bought some for the team and I had bought one for myself and it was one left. I had given out all my chocolates. And so that was my last overeat. I sat one night after camp. Maybe it wasn't camp. It might've been when we were in Austin. I can't remember when I gave it to them, but at some point I bought chocolates, right? And my thought was, it's the last one. It's the last one. It's for me. It's the last one. I'm just going to go ahead and eat it and get it out of the way. Just going to go ahead and eat this. So that was my last overeat. I see some of you guys are putting, yeah, they do have super clean bathrooms. I see some of you guys are putting in the chat, this is the last one. Yes, all you can eat fish fry. Got to get my money's worth. Oh, that's a good one. Got to get my money's worth. Exactly. All right, let's look at question two. I mentioned some of the thoughts that you might have, some scarcity thoughts that you might have. What about other ones that you guys might have that I didn't mention? Is there any other scarcity thoughts? This is question number two. What other scarce thoughts do you have that can lead you to overeat? What other scarce thoughts do you have that I didn't mention? Some of them for me are, this might not be enough. This amount won't be enough. I won't plan this again tomorrow. We'll get to that one in a minute because I'm going to talk a little bit about that kind of thinking. Someone else is going to eat it first. We talked about this. This is special. How many of you say that? How many of you say, but this is special, right? This is a special food. That creates that brain to go, oh, this is special. That means we better really, really enjoy it right now. We better eat a lot of it, right? How about, I'm not going to eat anything else later. I don't have anything left on my plan. This is it. This is the last one. This is the last meal tonight. I'm not eating anything after dinner, right? Scarcity thinking. How about salads? This salad won't be enough. Salad's not going to be enough. I better keep going, right? So tell me some of your thoughts, guys. Let me look in the chat here. I'm scrolling. Oh my gosh, 33 messages. It won't taste as good as a leftover. Girl, I feel you. I feel you on that one. And I will tell you, I used to do that with pizza. And we're going to talk about pizza, right? But later. Well, but I used to do that with pizza until I found out, you know how pizza tastes really good? Put it in your air fryer and put it on reheat. But that's true, right? I've thought that before. I can't leave this really good wine in the glass. I know, right? That's a good one. Yeah. I'm trying to be good so I won't be able to ever overeat again. I better chow this down now. That is classic scarcity thinking. Last supper, last supper. For all my new people that are new to No BS, Corinne, I'm sure you listened to a video that said, listen, before you join, there is no need to have a last supper, right? But how many of us have done it? Me, right? Back in my Weight Watcher days, before I signed back up again for the 5,000th time, I would go and I would eat all the shit that I knew I couldn't have on Weight Watchers. I would just try to cram it all in one day, right? So that's good. Reheat old pizza in a nonstick frying pan. That's a great one. Eat it now before anyone else sees me eating it. Secret eating. Yeah. Yeah. Good job, guys. Very, very good. Okay. I love those thoughts. Okay. So I want you to remember this one quote from the Trusting Your Body course, and it's so good. Creating scarcity around food creates an additional desire to consume a lot of it when you have it. Okay. You've established a relationship with foods that you have created scarcity around. For example, for me, one of the foods that I feel very scarce around is pizza, right? Where did this come from? Well, when I was growing up, pizza for me, we didn't have a lot of money. I mean, we did okay, but we didn't have a lot. So getting pizza was like a big deal, right? It was a Friday night special once a month. Back in the day, we ate Little Caesars. Do you remember when it came on like the big long like board, the cardboard? And it was like buy one, get one free. So it was like so cheap. And I remember my dad like ripping the paper and exposing the two pizzas, but this was a very special thing, right? So for me, it makes sense to me as an adult that when I eat pizza, it feels scarce. It feels special. It feels I have this sort of, I need to eat a lot of it because this doesn't happen very often, right? Now, okay, come on guys. Like for real, I can get pizza whenever I want. And it is on my plan a lot, but my habit brain, my primitive brain forgets, right? And so before No BS, when pizza was introduced to me, like when I would go to a pizza party or we would order pizza, my brain was like, oh shit, we know what to do with this. We eat a lot of it until we're sick. That's the relationship we have with pizza, right? So since starting No BS, I learned I gotta unwind this, right? I need to create a new relationship with pizza, right? Okay, so I want you to think and then put in the chat, where are you creating scarcity around food? What foods have you created scarcity around? Pop it in the chat. Tell me where you have created scarcity. Maybe it's pizza for you. Maybe it's sweets. Yes, I see sweets, sweets. Yes. Oh, you're asking me to repeat the quote. Okay. Creating scarcity around food creates an additional desire to consume a lot of it when you have it. Okay. Cookies, ice cream, chips and salty snacks, baked goods, pizza for sure. Yes. Chocolate chip cookies and ice cream, bacon. Bacon is life. Any holiday foods, jujubes and licorice. Yes. Any kind of takeout. I love that. Who said that? Somebody said, I got to scroll back up. That Lisa. Yeah. Any kind of takeout. For a lot of us, just eating out in general is like a whole special experience, right? These are really good. Salty peanuts. Mexican food. Oh yeah. Mexican food. Because I don't know if any of you guys have ever been on Weight Watchers, how in the hell do you fit Mexican food into your points? Like it's almost impossible. My sister and I were just talking about this morning. We were talking about points. And I said to her, I'm like, do you remember how many points a quarter pounder with cheese was and a medium fry? And she goes, no, I don't really remember. I said, 23. I said it was 23 points. And when you only got 28 in a day, how do you fit that in? Right. Cereal. Yeah. Yeah. Any foods that remind me of childhood family summers at the beach. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So if you have scarcity thinking and it comes from food actually being scarce when you were a child, okay, that is one sort of avenue of scarcity, like, right? But for the majority of us in this membership, most of our scarcity probably comes from diets, right? It probably comes from diet thinking. And this is the part that I want you to really think about. What did diets teach you that created the scarcity? Good food and bad foods. Most of my diets really, really taught me food judgment. Now, some of it I got from my parents, right? But most of what I got from them was also from diets that they had done, right? Like somebody taught them that there were good foods and bad foods, right? So if you have done a lot of diets, which you name it, I've done it, right? I have developed this scarcity around food because of my food judgment. And so I had this belief when I came to know BS that there were things you should be eating and things you shouldn't be eating. And so when I was eating the things that were no-nos, how do you think I ate them? I didn't eat them mindfully. I didn't eat them slowly. I ate them secretly. I ate them quickly. I ate them urgently. Okay. So one of my no-no foods is cake icing. Okay. No judgment here. I am a lots of frosting, corner piece with the rose kind of girl birthday cake eater. Like that's me. I want all of that things. I wish we had the reaction buttons because I want to feel like I'm not alone here, right? But that's me. I want to eat that. That's the kind of thing I like to eat, right? And so I remember back when I was doing Weight Watchers, I had made this cake and I had this tub of frosting and I didn't use it all. And so I put it in the fridge. Why do I put it in the fridge? Well, because I want to be able to go to it and get spoonfuls, right? Duh, right? And I remember thinking, I had started back to Weight Watchers and I remember thinking, okay, this frosting's got to go because I can't have it in the house. I'm going to eat it, right? I have no control. And literally, as I am walking to the trash can, I am putting bites in my mouth, like leading my face down to the trash can to just get in those few more bites. Right? Like, let me just hurry up and get in. This is it. I'm just going to have one more bite. Right? Diet mentality, helping my food scarcity along. Okay. So when you have a lot of food judgment, this is what I want you to think about. So one of the thoughts that Corinne gives us to think around our doable plans is I can have more later. Right? And I always wanted to really have that thought work for me. I wanted that thought to work for me so bad, but it just never did. And what I realized is as I worked through my food judgment, that thought did start to work for me, but it didn't work for me in the beginning because I had so much food judgment. So when I would try on the thought of, well, you can have more of this later, my brain would say, but you shouldn't. You're having it today, but you shouldn't tomorrow. You can't have it 2 days in a row. What are you, crazy? You're never going to lose weight eating that, right? So that thought never worked for me until I worked through my food judgment. And my food judgment came from all my past diets. And I know we all hear this from Corinne. She tells us, right? You can eat the food you like and lose weight. So here's my question to you. Do you believe that's true? Do you really believe that you can eat the foods you love and lose weight? Michelle says, absolutely. Right. Yes, yes. Lynn says no. Thank you for being honest, Lynn. Right? It's so scary. Some people are working on it. I used to knock off the Weight Watchers app. Yes. No, I wish. A lot of you are saying no. Okay. Those of you that are saying no, I want you to think about this. Go back to what we talked about at the top of the call and how scarcity thinking impacts your journey and how it's not helpful. And so the answer is, how do we unwind it, right? How do we get to the point where we can have this relationship with food that we want to include in our lives, but we want to stop overeating it? And the answer is stop practicing scarcity thinking around it. It feels scary. I get it, right? Those of us that have been dieting for so long, it is so scary to put the foods on our plan that we have not been able to eat responsibly. It is scary. But I ask you this, if these foods are things you want to include for the rest of your life, how are you going to be able to do that? Right? This is why the diets have never worked, because during the diet, you didn't eat them. But when the diet was over, you reintroduced them and you had no skill to eat them. You didn't practice during the diet. This is why so many of us gain our weight, because when the diet is over, we're like, oh, thank God I can eat pizza again. Right? But then when you introduce it, your brain's like, oh shit, we know how to eat pizza. We just pig out on it. I mean, hell, we hadn't had it for 6 months, right? So let me just hoard this. So the answer is stop creating scarcity with your thoughts. Okay, I want you to really think about this challenge. Make all foods available to you on your 24-hour plan. You need more practice with these foods, not less. The answer is not to eliminate them. If you find yourself saying things like, I just can't even have that in the house, okay? Then work on having it in the house and practice eating them. Give your brain lots of chances to see that it's not going away, that you're rethinking about this, that it truly is just food. All food is just food, right? It's not scarce. You're going to have it in your life and you're going to learn to eat it responsibly. Okay. So that is that. Okay. Let me make sure I'm not missing any questions. I feel like I just got on a rant. Okay. We're good. Okay. So one of the things I love about the Trusting Your Body course is that Jane teaches us that sometimes, you know, catching those scarcity thoughts, it's awesome. But for a lot of us, hearing our thoughts is really challenging, right? Like, or we'll hear them, but it'll be too late. Like we'll hear them at the end, right? So if you can't catch your scarcity thinking before you eat, right? If you're just not good at that yet, that's okay. Sometimes catching the feeling is easier. Sometimes knowing the feeling in the moment is easier than catching the actual thought that caused the feeling. So question number three, go ahead and answer that. What does scarcity thinking actually feel like in your body? This is the woo part of No BS, which I swore I would never do, but here I am all up in the woo. So for those of you that think this is too touchy-feely, just come on over to the dark side with me because this shit really works. Okay. So what does scarcity thinking feel like in your body? I want you to think about it, describe it. For me, I wrote, it feels energetic. Like when I'm feeling like, oh my God, like this is, I got to eat this. Like think about the food that you feel scarce around. What does it feel like in your body when you are having it? I wrote, my heart races. My chest feels so tight. My breathing is like rapid. My shoulders kind of rise up and feel tense. And I feel like my brain is obsessed and focused. Like I feel like it's going like, oh, I can't think of anything else. Like it's all I can hear is my thoughts. Like this is especially happening to me if I'm eating like pizza, which you guys already know is my food, right? If I'm eating it in a group, like I almost don't even hear what's going on around me. I'm just focusing on the food. So I see Reva says my throat feels constrained. It feels like pressure, a rush of adrenaline. Yeah, you feel nervous, buzzed, sense of urgency. I love that you feel deprived. It feels like fight or flight. Yep. Panicky, Dolores. Hey, Dolores. Dolores, love you. If you feel cravings, you feel emptiness, you feel gotta have it, clenching. Oh, that's a good one. You feel amped up. That's right. Right. Good. Okay. So how is it helpful to know what this actually feels like in your body? It's helpful to know because sometimes we can't catch the thoughts, but sometimes we can catch the feeling. So, okay. Now that we know that scarcity is no bueno for weight loss, right? And we've got to start working on our scarcity thoughts. What do we want to create? What would be the opposite of scarcity? Anyone? Bueller. What is the opposite of scarcity? What is the feeling you actually, yes, Vivian, gold star, Reva, gold star, abundance, right? The opposite of something being scarce is abundant, okay? So we want to create a feeling of abundance. All right, next quiz, pop-up quiz for you guys in the chat. If you want to create a feeling, there's your keyword of abundance, how do you do that? How do we create feelings? Thoughts. Nalani, she was the first one to type it in. Yes, change your thoughts. Exactly. So if we want to feel like food is abundant or pizza is abundant or cookies or all the things that you guys said you have scarcity around, if you want to feel like they're abundant, you need to create that feeling with your thoughts. So, okay, abundant thoughts, like what? I can always have more tomorrow. If you let go of your food judgment, that thought's going to work for you. Okay. So let's work on our food judgment so that thought will be effective. Okay. I can eat again when I get hungry. Yes. This does not have to be the last meal, right? There's plenty of food. All foods are available to me. All foods are available to me. I can trust myself around any food, right? This was one I used in my accountability, the Badass Babes, shout out to y'all. One of the thoughts that I used to tell myself is I have more yummy food planned. Like, this is not the last good meal I'm having, right? Like, I have more yummy food coming because I'm only planning foods that I like, right? It's not like, well, now I get pizza. And guess what, guys, tomorrow it's all salads and chicken and broccoli because you ate pizza. No. I have more yummy food coming. Okay. That was very helpful to me. So steal it. That comes in your coaching package today. Okay. Moving on. Abundant thoughts. Practice some of those. Anybody have food is everywhere and I can buy it. I was just about to ask, does anybody have any other great abundant thoughts? Yes. Food is everywhere and I can buy it whenever I want, right? Isn't that the truth? I tell myself I only eat delicious foods. I love telling myself I am a foodie. Yes, Heather's making it normal to be a foodie. Yes. How many of you thought you joined OBS and you would hear from a coach, she's a foodie? No, right? Because every other diet you've ever done, you're trying not to be a foodie, right? But we all can be foodies. There's nothing wrong with enjoying your food. Okay. Another great strategy besides eliminating scarcity and practicing abundance, okay, is practicing contentment. Okay. So now we're moving on to sort of the contentment section of this worksheet. Okay. So what is contentment? Well, it's a feeling or a state of happiness. It's a feeling of a state of happiness, satisfaction, and if you're calm and composed. Okay. So let's look at question 4. How much contentment do you get from your meals on a regular basis? How many times after a meal are you feeling satisfied? Are you feeling calm? Are you feeling composed? Are you feeling happy? How much are you actually feeling contentment after a meal? Okay. Let's see. Let me see what y'all are saying. Oh, Maria Malia, am I saying your name right? It went by too fast. Paula says most of the time. Yes. Nicole says, I feel good, but within minutes, I want more. Okay, Nicole, what I'm about to say next is for you. Okay. With no BS, quite a bit. Good, Michelle. For me, it's a love. I love food and enjoy eating. I'm still nervous around enough. Michelle, that's totally normal. Keep practicing at it. Yes, Colleen, beautiful. If I slow down when I eat and pay attention to eat right, you're taking my coaching, girl. That's what I'm going to say here in a little bit, but yes, that's great. I don't associate enough with contentment. Oh, good catch. Good catch, right? I'll talk about that in just a minute. Most nights, I'm a good cook. Awesome. Okay, look at the next question, you guys. Question number 5. If you are limiting your enjoyment around food, if you are not allowing yourself to enjoy food, like Coach Heather has figured out, she's a foodie. So she obviously is allowing herself to enjoy food. If you're not doing that, why not? Why are you not making it okay to enjoy your food? Why are you not eating foods you enjoy? Pop it in the chat. Let me know your answers. Why are we not creating enjoyment around our food? Worried I will overeat it. Yes. Yes, Colleen, I have a feeling you're not alone. Scared of them? Just don't do the still diet mentality, old diet crap. I know. Yep. I wish we had that reaction button. I feel like my screen would be exploding with thumbs up right now. Yes, food historically I have defined as the enemy. Oh, yes, food is the enemy. That's right. Eat too fast, not enjoying it. Very good. Eating too fast and want to eat more. Yeah. Yeah. Great answers, you guys. Great answers. Okay. So when we're talking about contentment, then and not enjoying our food, why do we want to create contentment? Like, what's the point, right? I think the answer might be fairly obvious, but it's because without contentment, our brains are searching for it. They're going to look for it. So if you're not providing contentment thoughts, your brain is going to be on the hunt. All right. So this next part, this contentment skill that I'm going to teach you, is so important for all of my eaters that are trying to lick that after dinner eating. This is for my peeps who just need something sweet after a meal, right? Who just want a little something, right? This is for you. This contentment skill is going to be gold for you, okay? How do we create that contentment? Contentment is a feeling, and we create feelings with our thoughts, okay? So if you are finishing your dinner, let's say you are my person who is trying to lick that after dinner eating, and you are finishing your dinner and you are not practicing contentment, we already know that your brain is going to seek it. And that's why it wants something else, a little something else, a little something sweet. Okay. I want you to practice this. Practice creating that contentment feeling with your thoughts after dinner and see if that doesn't help that desire to have a little something else. So I want you to say things like, that was just right. That gave me the exact energy I need for the rest of the afternoon or the evening or the next task that I'm supposed to do. I'm taking such great care of my body and honoring its needs. I'm satisfied. I'm good. That was perfect amount. What other contentment thoughts have any of you practiced, if any? Have you even thought about practicing contentment? I wrote on mine, that was exactly what I needed for now. That was exactly what I needed for now. That was the perfect amount. That was good. And my body said, thank you. I'm so grateful for that meal. Okay. Contentment thoughts. Let's see. That hit the spot. Marilyn, good one. I am, and my body is feeling nourished. Oh, I love that. Love that. My body feels so good after eating that. Yes. Good. Very good. Very good. Excellent. That felt really good in my body. Yes. Yes. So for all of my eaters that have been trying to lick that after dinner eating, practice tonight, practice some of this contentment, these contentment thoughts. See if it doesn't help you out with that. Show your brain that you're satisfied, right? It's not good. Contentment does not come from the food. Okay. Contentment comes from our thoughts, right? So when you're finished eating, think something that is going to tell your brain you are satisfied. You are content. Okay. All right, moving on. How else can we create contentment instead of just those thoughts? There's two ways. One is to think about, while you're eating, what is the experience of eating doing for you besides satisfying your hunger? Okay, what is the experience doing for you besides just satisfying your hunger? So for me, when I think about eating, and I think about dinner specifically, it's my time with my family. So besides just satisfying hunger, I'm connecting with my family. Sometimes when I am doing this at lunchtime, I think I'm getting a break from sitting at my desk. Okay. So think about the experience of actually eating the meal and what else that is doing for you besides satisfying your hunger. What else are you getting from the experience of eating your food? Another way to create contentment is to practice gratitude either during the meal or at the end of the meal. So you can say things like, I'm so thankful that I could afford this food. I'm so grateful for the people that prepared this food for me. I'm grateful for the abundance of food I have in my life. I'm so happy that I have such a variety of foods available to me. Gratitude, I'm telling you, for me, it is the antidote to a lot of my problems. Much of the time when I'm practicing gratitude, my brain cannot also practice the shit that holds me back. It's hard to do those two things at the same time. Okay. So two other ways besides just your thoughts that can help create a feeling of contentment. Think about the experience and what else it's doing for you besides satiating your hunger. And then also practice some gratitude. Okay. So when we overeat, hopefully you guys are filling out a discovery worksheet, right? One of the most common things that I hear my clients say for the reasons they overeat is it just tastes so good. It just tastes so good, right? We do this a lot, but it's so good. And it's the only reason we could come up with, right? This is directly tied into scarcity. It tastes so good, helps us think that we're not going to get it again, so we need to keep going, right? We just need to keep experiencing it. So if you've listened to this lesson and Jane's video lesson, she gives you a fantastic thought to think to counteract that it tastes so good thought. So if you're a it tastes so good overeater, hear me right now. Here's your thought. I've already experienced the best part of this meal, where the food and the taste and the satisfaction was at its peak, and eating more of it will just diminish that. I've already experienced the best part of this meal, and eating more of it is just going to diminish that. Because then discomfort starts to set in, for a lot of us, guilt. It's really hard to feel like you really enjoyed a meal when there's a shit ton of guilt that comes along after you finish it. Okay. So overeating the meal actually ruins the experience for a lot of us. So if you are a taste so good person, I want you to remember that you've already experienced the best part of this meal, right? And overeating it or continuing to eat it is just going to diminish it. Okay. All right. So how can we make contentment easier? We can, number one, we already talked about this, let go of our food judgment, let go of that scarcity thinking, okay? Why is that going to help us create contentment? Because if we're not practicing scarcity, if we're not practicing, I won't get this again, it's much easier to slow down and enjoy it in the moment. Our brains can relax. They won't be looking for more because we practice contentment. So let go of that food judgment. If there are foods, like a lot of you posted the foods that you have been creating scarcity around, if there are foods that you have been doing this a long time for, I want you to start introducing them slowly back into your doable plan. I want you to start practicing with them. I want you to tell yourself things like, I can trust myself to eat them in a very connected way now because I have new skills. Okay. So do it slowly, get some more practice. Okay. Another way that you can make contentment easier, and I can't remember who said it in the chat, but somebody else said in the chat about eating slowly and eat connected. That is a fantastic idea, right? To make contentment easier, slow down, guys. Like, let your brain realize that you are enjoying the experience. If you are a fast eater, contentment, it might be a little bit challenging. So if y'all remember from the trust process that Jane taught us in lesson 7, if you aren't familiar with it, go back and listen to it. It's really good. But one part of that process is about the S stands for use your senses, right? Use your senses to experience the food, smell it, taste it, listen to it, which is kind of weird, right? But is it crunchy? Is it those kinds of things, right? Experience the food, use the senses. And the T of the trust process stands for take your time. Okay. Put your fork down, chew slowly, drink some water, really experience it. I gave this advice on Facebook the other day when I was coaching in there. And I in my best British etiquette accent, I said, thou shalt not put another bite of food in your mouth whilst another bite is in there, right? I go back and I think about all the British etiquette stuff I've seen, right? So just slow down your eating, because otherwise, how many of you have finished a meal and your brain is like, wait, did we eat? Like, did I like it? What happened? That was so fast. I don't even know what happened, right? That's going to make contentment really, really hard. Okay. So slow down your eating. Okay. All right. The other thing I want you to do is I want you to give yourself permission to be a foodie. Give yourself permission to enjoy the food, you guys. It's not wrong, but our dieting has taught us that it's not okay to enjoy the food, right? Food is fuel, right? Okay, it is, but it's also really good. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying it. So give yourself permission to enjoy the food, and then give yourself permission to stop eating when it becomes less enjoyable. Because every food has that point, you guys. Every food, if you keep eating it, gets to a point where it stops tasting really, really good. Okay. But our scarcity is what keeps us eating it. So give yourself permission to enjoy it and give yourself permission to stop. Okay. All right. So let's see. Did we do the question? Yeah, we did. Question number 7. All right. What does that contentment feel like in your body? If you want to know, did you create the feeling, but you're not sure if you had the right thought, what's it feel like in your body? Answer question number 7. What does that feel like in your body? For me, it feels open. Like even now, when I think about the word contentment, I want to sit back and go, yeah, that was good, right? Like I just want to take a big breath. My chest feels very open. My breathing is even. My heart rate is just chill. Like everything's cool. My head feels really light. I feel like I'm smiling on the inside. I don't know if that's actually like a physical feeling, but that's in my mind. That's what I visualize, right? Relaxed, calm, proud, peaceful, safe. So how often are you feeling that after you eat? How often are you feeling calm and relaxed, right? So this could be something we want to work on. This could be something we want to work on. Excellent. Excellent. All right. So here's your call to action before we get to some coaching, guys. We're going to have probably about 15 minutes left. So if you want to get coached, I want you to raise your hand. I see a couple of you guys have raised your hand. Think about it. I'll get to as many of you as I can. We've got about 15 minutes, but here's what I want to leave you with. Here's your call to action. I want you to decide right now how you can create that contentment at dinner tonight. Like I want everyone to try a strategy that you learned in this call today. And there's lots of ways to do it. Are you going to practice gratitude while you're eating? Maybe you're going to go around your family and ask them what they're grateful for. Maybe you're going to make it a family event. Are you going to focus on appreciating the experience and what else it's doing for you besides satiating your hunger? You're going to think about the family time you're getting or the break, or if you're eating outside, you know, experiencing the outside, or if you're going out to eat, are you going to appreciate the fact that you didn't have to cook? Whatever it is, are you going to appreciate the experience? Number 3, are you going to practice contentment by actually slowing down and enjoying your food? Are you going to use your senses? Are you going to put your fork down between each bite? Are you going to chew slowly? Okay. And lastly, are you going to practice contentment by actually fucking planning food you want to eat? Are you going to practice contentment by putting those foods on your plan so you can practice letting go of your food judgment? So you can get some good reps in with the foods that you want to include in your life long term, and you can finally learn how to eat them without a shit ton of guilt and shame. So decide right now what you're going to do. What are you going to do tonight? What are you going to try tonight? Just one thing, okay? All right, let's get to some coaching. My favorite part of being an OBS coach. All right, let's see. I see Terry with your hand raised. I'm going to pull you up as a panelist. Let's see. All right, Terry, you're coming on. Get ready. I hope you're not on the toilet. Here you come. Let's see. Let's see, Terry, I'm trying to promote you. Promote to panelist. Why isn't it working? Oh, Terry declined. Okay, right, lower your hand, Terry. I'm going to Shelly. Shelly, you are next. Yeah, Courtney says, thankful that I didn't have to cook. Yeah. All right, I'm going to open the Q&A. Shelly, did you? Let me see. Come on, you guys. If you do not want to be coached, lower your hand. Oh, here you come, Shelly. Shelly, I see you. You're coming. Everybody get ready. While she's coming up, let me see. While she's coming up, I'm going to answer a couple Q&As. So Diane asked in the Q&A, so if I'm hungry, it's okay to eat a sweet? Sure. If that's what you want to eat, absolutely. That was like the easiest coaching question ever. I love it. But Diane, you're not alone by asking that question, right? Is it okay to eat a sweet? Hell yeah. If you're hungry, real quick, because I want to get to coaching. But you know, for me, guys, sometimes I eat cake for breakfast. I mean, shocking, right? But I really like cake. I mean, if you didn't get that from the call earlier when I was talking about frosting, right? I like to eat cake. And sometimes I eat it for breakfast. Now, here's what I do, Diane. I said do. Okay, here's what I do around cake. I look at my day, right? does it make sense for me to have cake today? Am I doing a long run? Because that would be a real dick move to eat cake before a long run, right? Like, I just make it make sense for me. Do I need to overeat the cake? I just kind of work it in like that. So yes, it's okay. It is okay. Lynn asks, but how can I plan these foods when in the past, I know I end up overeating it every single time? You start telling yourself that this is the new you. Your past is not a predictor of what you're going to do today. You tell your habit brain, shut the fuck up, that you're doing something new. This is what we're doing. Just because I've always done it doesn't mean I'm going to do it today. Today, I'm practicing something different. Today, I'm going to do it differently. Tell your brain to relax, take a chill. We really want to include that food in our life. So today we're going to practice. Okay. All right. Let's see. Shelly, I got you up. Let's get to you. I'm going to ask you to unmute because I cannot hear you, Shelly. Back to my British accent. Shelly, unmute yourself. I also cannot see you. Shelly, you are muted, my friend. All right, Shelly, while you're working on that, because I really want to get to some coaching, I'm going to put you down to an attendee. Get your sound figured out and then come on back. Okay, hon? Let's see. All right, I got Zoom user. Zoom user, I'm promoting you to panelists. If you want to be coached, guys, we got about 10 minutes. Please raise your hand. This is your chance. This is your chance. Let's see. Zoom user, promote to panelist. I wish Zoom was faster. Zoom, are you coming? Zoom user? I don't see. Zoom user has declined. Okay. Reva, you're coming on up. Guys, if you do not want to be coached, please lower your hand. Please lower your hand. Promote to panelists. Reva, I got you coming up. All right, next question in the Q&A while Reva's coming up. What if you know the feelings, but your brain is just saying F it? Yeah, your brain is just saying F it because it doesn't trust you that you're practicing something new. Your brain doesn't believe that you can actually do this differently. It doesn't believe what you're trying to tell it about the food. So if you are saying F it, likely that is your food judgment coming out, okay? Your brain is saying F it. This is not a food I should be eating. So I'm just going to say F it and eat it all. It doesn't have trust. So keep practicing. Diane, keep practicing with those foods. Don't give up on that. Okay. Even if you say F it in the moment, hold on, Reva, I'm coming to you, mama. If you say F it in the moment, I really want you to find the win. Did you even take one step? Are you proud of yourself for even trying again with this food? Find the wins. Okay. Stop letting your brain tell you that's how it's going to be all the time. All right, Miss Reva. So good to see you. How are you? What are we coaching on?
Okay. And I don't know if this is a good thing to bring up or not.
It's always a good thing. You're here. Let's do it.
I have kidney disease. And kidney disease, the diet is really weird. You have to talk to a dietitian, which you can't find. It's different by each stage. It's totally intimidating. Okay. And before I joined No BS, I was trying to do this Facebook group. And it was 100% compliance. It was very restricted. And I came into No BS traumatized by that. And I don't want to exaggerate, but that's truth. But I really do need to deal with the kidney disease. I can't just ignore it. And I'm really worried because I've got a dietitian working on things and I'm going to be talking to her in a couple weeks. And I'm really worried that everything I've been doing with No BS is going to get messed up because of that feeling of scarcity. Okay. Because I have low potassium, there's some foods I'm not going to be able to eat. Okay. And how do I deal with that? How do I balance?
Okay. So this, we have a whole Facebook subgroup for special diets, right? And this would be what you're talking about. So let me ask you this, Reva, tell me again, how do we create a feeling of scarcity?
Never eating the food.
Okay. But what do you do?
Thoughts.
Yes. Your thought creates scarcity. Okay.
Right.
So your thought, which I already heard you say it, is I can't eat these foods.
And that it's too complicated.
It's too complicated.
Yep.
All right. So for you, Do you know what foods that you would need to sort of keep an eye on for your kidney disease?
Yeah. Anything high protein, especially meat, okay. Because the body processes meats differently. Okay. Anything with phosphorus that's added, which I've pretty much been able to handle. That's not difficult. Okay. And, but what's hard for me is the potassium part, because I love vegetables with a lot of potassium. Okay. And, you know, this then gets, am I going to be measuring and how labor intensive is it going to be? Mm-hmm. And it's just complicated.
Okay. I want you to stop saying it's complicated. That's going to be your first step. Stop saying it's complicated. I want you to start saying something like, there's things that I'm going to learn and I can learn them.
Okay.
It's not complicated. And here's why. Let me ask you this. Reva, why do you want to comply with a more kidney friendly diet? Why do you want to do it? Because you don't have to, you know, there's plenty of people that, you know, diabetics and things like that don't give a shit, right? Like they just eat whatever they want. Why do you want to comply with a diet that's going to support you with your kidney disease?
Because I don't want to go on dialysis, but I'm not sure this stuff works. I'm not sure how much they really know, but I don't want to go on dialysis and I want to have, you know, a vital remainder of my life.
Okay. So tell me again, why you want to comply why you want to try this way of eating? Because you don't want to go to my dialysis and you want to have a long life?
Well, vital life.
Right. A vital life. You want to live a vital life, right? So are you choosing to try eating in this way so you can get those things? Or do you have to eat this way to get those things?
I'm choosing to, but there's a whole element of trust about what works and doesn't work.
Okay. So I get you. Because so in your mind, you're doubting that this diet is even going to work.
Right.
Okay. This is no different than any No BS member that first joins and says, I don't think that four basic shit is really going to work. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's some shit I've never, what? Eat what I want. What? No, not going to work. Right? Do you know what we say to those members? We give them a bridge thought. We create a feeling of curiosity because curiosity can create willingness. So can you say to yourself, Miss Reva, I wonder if eating in this way is going to really help my kidney disease? I'm curious to see.
Okay, I can do that.
Instead of saying, well, I don't think this is going to work anyway, right? That's your thought. If your thought is, I'm not sure this is going to work, your feeling is like skeptical, right? Right. And that's going to lead to a do line of, I ain't doing it. If I don't even think it's going to work, it's going to lead to a do line of, I'm not doing it, right? Right. But if you have the thought, hey, you know, I wonder if there's something to this low potassium thing. Then you might be kind of curious feeling like, I don't know. Maybe I'll try it out. Then it might lead to a do line of, let me just try it for a week or so and see how it goes. Right?
Right.
Because right now, the thought that you have about that this is not going to actually work for you, that is keeping you from even trying it.
Right. But trying it for a week or so, what you're talking about is you don't know until over time, unlike weight. Over the weight, you see, okay, I'm dropping a few pounds and maybe I gain a couple, but I keep the trend line is down. Mm-hmm. But with this, the measurements are labs and you're talking a long period of time before you find out if it works.
Yeah. So are you committed to doing this for that period of time? Can you commit to doing this for that period of time until your next labs come in?
They come in every 3 months. I would need to do it for at least 6 months before.
So 3 months or 6 months. We're going to try this diet for 3 months or 6 months, right? We're going to tell our brains, hey, brains, we're in it for 3 to 6 months. And if at the end of that, my labs are not changed, I'll go try something else.
Okay.
That's way okay. better than this shit isn't going to work. I'm not even going to try it. Right?
Okay. Yep.
And then along those 3 to 6 months, start paying attention to your body. Because yes, the labs are going to show you something, but I would imagine with kidney disease, you probably got some physical shit going on too. See if doing the diet and trying that those different things manifests itself for you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Curiosity is what the feeling I want you to create. Curiosity. I don't want you to go to the unicorn belief of this is totally going to work. I'm going to solve all my kidney problems right here with this diet. That's unicorn okay. shit that your brain is going to be like, no, right? Let's just right. move to curiosity and be like, you know what? I'm just curious to see if this is actually going to work. And you know what? Okay. When I find out, I'm going to shout it from the rooftops. Yes, this totally worked, or no, that's a bunch of horse shit. Right?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Thank you for coming on. Have a fantastic you. Weekend. You're welcome, my friend.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay. How do I leave this?
I will change you to an attendee. There you go. Bye-bye, Reva. Thanks for being on the call. All right, guys, we are about out of time, but I just want to kind of give you a couple little announcements. We have one more coaching call this weekend. It's tomorrow at 11 with Corinne. Those members were pre-selected, but it is a weight loss coaching call at 11 a.m. Central Time. This is the last day of the Trusting Your Body course. May, oh my God, you guys, this is the Conquering the Scale course. That is going to be, we're going to be doing as a membership. Just know though, if you are new, these courses are not required. These are extra. If you have not finished the No BS weight loss course, that is your numero uno priority. Okay. Do not worry about these bonus calls. They will live on the website, on the main website under self-study resources. You can find them at any time. Okay. Also, I want you guys to save the date. We are doing something exciting this summer called the No BS Summer Reset. It's a little 4-hour workshop on Saturday, June 4th from 9 to 1, where Corinne is going to be dealing all things summer, summer stuff, summer parties, kids are home, you're going insane, vacations. It's going to be a quick 4-hour how to keep your summer in check workshop. So take a look at that. Thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you for all the love in the chat. I hope you had a great time. Remember, your call to action for tonight is how are you going to practice contentment tonight at dinner? I gave you some great, great strategies. So check it out. Jump on Facebook. Let us know how it went. All right. Bye, everybody.